Support for this podcast and the following message come from Allianz Travel Insurance. An unexpected medical emergency can cost you. It can cost you even more when you're traveling abroad. Protect your trip at AllianzTravelInsurance.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. The White House says President Biden spoke by phone with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today on a possible ceasefire and hostage deal. And he reiterated his, quote, clear position on Rafah in southern Gaza. The call came just hours after Secretary of State Antony Blinken left for another Middle East tour, starting in Saudi Arabia, where he will meet with Egyptian and Qatari officials on ongoing efforts for a ceasefire. Blinken will also visit Israel again. And Israel's foreign minister says a military incursion into Rafah could be suspended if Israel and Hamas reach an agreement on releasing the hostages. NPR's Peter Kenyon has more.
In an interview with Israeli media, Foreign Minister Israel Katz said bringing the hostages home is the government's primary aim. When asked if that included delaying a promised incursion into Rafah, Katz reportedly said yes. If there will be a deal, we will suspend the operation. Katz is not part of the war cabinet overseeing the Gaza operation. Hamas is reviewing Israel's latest proposal. Israel has said it believes there are four Hamas battalions in Rafah and they must be defeated. But Rafah is also home to more than 1 million Palestinians who fled south from other parts of the Gaza Strip. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Jerusalem.
Hundreds of students have been arrested or punished by their universities over the weekend while taking part in protests against Israel's war in Gaza. NPR's Ryan Mann reports students say protests will continue until U.S. support for Israel ends.
Here in the pro-Palestinian encampment on Columbia University's campus in New York City, the mood seems calm with students gathered among the tents singing.
Everybody say freedom to Palestine.
But one of the student protesters, who identifies himself only as Phil because he fears backlash from the school administration, says tensions on campus remain high.
The university has done a very poor job of coming to the table with good faith arguments. There has been friction.
Students around the U.S. continue to press their schools to divest from investments in Israel. They also want police and universities to drop charges and punishments against student activists, including those arrested here at Columbia last week. Brian Mann, NPR News, New York.
At least four people are dead, dozens injured, after a severe storm and tornado swept through Oklahoma. Governor Kevin Stitt declared a state of emergency in 12 counties, with many houses and buildings damaged or destroyed.
Definitely the most damage since I've been governor that I've seen. I've seen a lot of damage. I've been around the state for, it's my sixth year. But what I saw downtown Sulphur, it's unbelievable.
It was part of a severe storm system that spawned multiple tornadoes in four states, including Nebraska and Iowa. Today's the third day of severe weather across the central part of the country, and the National Weather Service says more storms are possible. This is NPR. Candace Parker, a three-time WNBA champion and two-time Olympic gold medalist, is retiring after 16 seasons. She wrote on social media today that she decided to call it a career at 38 years old. Parker became the first player in WNBA history to be named Rookie of the Year and Most Valuable Player in the same season. That was in 2008. She's also the only player in league history to win a championship with three different teams. She won gold medals in 2008 and 2012 and a second league MVP in 2013. Coming out of the hottest year on record, people are desperate for climate solutions. NPR's Julia Simon reports a few startup companies think the answer is reflective particles in the stratosphere.
In a parking lot in Silicon Valley, entrepreneurs Luke Eisman and Andrew Song show me their big metal tank of sulfur dioxide gas. They use the gas to fill big white weather balloons.
You can smell that.
And then release them into the stratosphere. When the balloons pop, the sulfur dioxide turns to particles, which reflect sunlight on a much bigger scale that can cool the planet. It's called solar geoengineering. But scientists say there are lots of risks, including for crops and diseases. With much of the science unsettled, legal experts say there's a need for more domestic and international regulation. Julia Simon, NPR News, Silicon Valley.
And I'm Janine Herbst, and you're listening to NPR News from Washington.
This message comes from NPR sponsor HubSpot. Imagine growing a business with high-quality leads, fast-closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.